The Roman orator Seneca said, "Nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart." Northwestern University in Evanston, Indiana, or Illinois, excuse me, had for many years a voluntary life-saving crew that was really world famous, as there were many mishaps that occurred in those years on Lake Michigan. On September 8, 1860, the Lady Elgin, a crowded passenger steamer, foundered off the shore of Lake Michigan, just above Evanston. One of the students that were gathered on the shore there was also part of a Bible Institute preparing for the ministry. His name was Edward W. Spencer. He saw a woman clinging to some wreckage far out in the waves, and he threw off his coat and swam out through the heavy waves, succeeding in getting her back to land in safety. 16 more times during that day did young Spencer brave those fierce waves, rescuing 17 persons. Then he collapsed in delirium of exhaustion. Ed Spencer slowly recovered from that exertion and that exposure, but was never able to fully recover, wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. He lived a long life, but at his death, one paper said that not one of those 17 rescued persons ever came to thank him. We certainly don't want that to be the case on our part. Pasquale Bazzelli, 43, a structural engineer for the Manhattan Port Authority, was one of the last people to exit the North Tower on September 11. Just as he reached the 22nd floor, however, the building crumbled between him. Amazingly, he was able to surf down on some degree to the 7th floor, where then he was in trouble. He said, "I was totally numb. I felt nothing at all. I just opened my eyes and saw blue sky. I realized I felt pain in my leg. At that point, I started calling out, 'Help, help!' Firefighters Mike Lyons and Mike Morabito were searching the wreckage and found him just when he was in danger of being burned alive by the fire." Story after story could be given. Running to danger to rescue people. We must not forget those then and those now. Turn with me to Psalm 103, which is a wonderful psalm of remembrance. In these final few minutes, I want us to look at this because I believe it really gets to the heart of what we're about here today. Psalm 103, a psalm of King David, inspired, of course, by the Lord. And in this psalm, we are challenged to not forget. I'm going to read just the first five verses. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Never forget. Number one, never forget the sacrificial service. Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He's speaking to his own heart, do not forget. And certainly on the human side, the inspiration of sacrificial service is something that should inspire all of us. The word benefit here means service. It means acts of meeting needs. And so this whole matter of blessing the Lord is to thank him for the ways that he has served us and been good to us. And that heart is found in the lives of those that do put their lives on the line to meet our needs. And it really is an inspiration. The well-known story of the Alamo. Colonel William Travis, he was there with the defenders at that time, and he looked at the men. He said, "The dictator, General Santa Anna, has demanded our surrender, but this fort is essential to the defense of Texas. My orders are to hold it. There is no help coming to reinforce us. The Mexican army has 5,000. We have 232. And then he drew a line on the dirt floor with his sword, and he said, any man who wants to escape is free to go now. Any who are determined to stay and die in defense of the Alamo will cross this line. Immediately, the strong-muscled Davy Crockett boldly stepped across. Others followed, and finally, only one was left on the other side of the line. That was James Bowie. And he was too ill to move on his own strength, and so he asked to be carried across. And so because of that, Colonel Travis sent the fateful message, we refuse to surrender. And so the Mexicans attacked on March 6, 13, 1838, and it took three assaults for them to overpower the fort by sheer force. The Americans fought bravely, grimly, fiercely, but inevitably all lay dead. When news of their bravery leaked to the American forces, the defenders were inspired to advance. General Sam Houston gave the battle cry, victory is certain. Remember the Alamo. We all know that phrase. Remembering does affect us. It does affect us. And may I submit to you, as much as America remembered, it also forgot. I was amazed as a pastor, I have a fairly good finger to the pulse of our culture, our society. I was amazed after a couple of weeks, it was all about just getting back to normal, and there's certainly merit to that, I understand. But I wonder how much did we learn, and how much were we motivated to move our culture ahead and to move our nation ahead? I don't know. But the fact is, it is very important to realize that sacrificial service always inspires. But we need to realize the source of all sacrificial service, and it is spiritual. Behind everything that is accomplished, folks, we need to realize we're alive because God created. We're alive because He gives us breath. We are alive because He is the living God. And all the things that do occur, one of the most important things is for us in humility to bless the Lord and all of His benefits, realizing what He has done for us. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, God was all over helping the people on 9/11. It's been thought that about 30,000 people could have died that morning. But all kinds of very unusual events occurred. In fact, you remember the numbers when the news reporters were first saying what they were calculating would be the losses from the World Trade Towers alone? I think it was like 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000. They were—I don't remember exactly what they were saying, but the people weren't in the towers. And story after story after story can be given. I think that was the Lord's goodness. A pastor that was right there in Manhattan. He said, soon I learned that earlier in that tragic morning, a personal friend, a very godly man, an air conditioning and heating engineer, had scheduled an expert team meeting at 8:30 a.m. in a room high in one of the towers. And that was to plan air quality improvement. He and the other engineers were coming from other buildings. However, at 7:15, he had an inexplicable, horrible feeling about the meeting and called everyone to postpone it for another day. So none of that group was lost. Sujo John was working on the 81st floor of the World Trade Center when the building was hit, the 81st floor. And although he was able to descend quickly down the stairs to safety, his mind remained on his pregnant wife, who was working in the second tower. I thought for sure she would die. The building was swaying, and we could feel the building tilting to the left, fighting our way through the fire, making our way to the stairwell. However, his wife had arrived late, and so therefore saw it happen, but wasn't in the building. But then, when the other tower collapsed, it collapsed on top of this man. Somehow, he had strength that he knew he did not have, and he was able to burst out of all of that debris. And both he and his wife survived the terrible tragedy. And they clearly, as believers, credit God with the miraculous protection of His goodness. God is so good. And so we need to bless his name. We certainly want to honor all the men and women that have given themselves, but we do need to not forget that behind all of this is the strength, the ability, the wisdom, and so many clear interventions of God Almighty. Way back in 1680, a hymn was written, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King." You know, no gratefulness is ever fully satisfying until you get to the full source of all blessings. But secondly, we never need to forget the tragic crisis. There was extreme danger. It was unbelievable. In the documentary 10 years after the event, Rudy Giuliani, who was mayor at the time, said, "I go up to the fire chief, Peter Gansey, and I say, 'What should I communicate to people?' He says, 'Tell them to get in the stairways. Tell them our guys are on the way up.' And then he looks at me and says, 'I think we can save everybody below the fire.' What he is telling me is they're gone. Everybody above the fire is gone. He says, people are not panicking. They're moving fast. I grab his hand, shake it, and say, 'Good luck. God bless you.'" Rather mild conversation compared to the extreme danger that was going on at that time. And it just, doesn't it remind us, you know, we think we're so strong. Every time I see things like this, I realize our mortality is so real. We are not weak. We think we're going to live a certain amount of time. We think we're able to beat all the odds. But my friends, Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." We are a cursed planet because of sin, and the human weakness is there, and that's why it's so important that we look to the Lord. And that leads me then to say that as we think about this unbelievable extreme danger, there's a greater danger. And if you look with me at verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." God is the one that overcomes the greatest danger of all. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, one of the problems is in the human race is when it comes to the greatest danger of all, and that's facing God at the judgment, we somehow think we got all the time in the world, and we don't realize that we literally are a ticking time bomb. Reminds me of the young man that was on a Stone Mountain before they put fences up there. That's that large rock in Georgia, the largest boulder in the world. It is a mountain. And he was walking unsuspectingly along, and he went beyond the point of no return. And then he realized it. He screamed out, "Help, help," but there was no way for anybody to help him as he plunged to his death. And it was a horrifying thought of sight. But you know, folks, we're somewhat guilty of the same thing. You know, we look at these physical dangers, and they're so real because eternity is around the corner on those if people are not rescued. But I think we need to realize all of us, we're walking right on the edge. And if our iniquities are not taken care of by God, then we plunge into eternity without what we need. That is the greatest danger of all. And that leads me then, finally, very quickly here, never forget the wonderful rescue. The ultimate sacrifice. How can we even say it the right way? 400 first responders died. 343 were New York City firefighters. 23 were New York City police officers, and 37 were officers at the Port Authority. And we haven't mentioned it much, but in 9/11-related military conflict, 6,951 military personnel have died, of our military men and women. That's a lot of loss. And that's the ultimate sacrifice. These were people that died to rescue. died to protect. And again, I feel very weak when it comes to saying it right. Romans 5:7 says it so well. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. It's unusual to be willing to die for somebody else. And yet we see that. And my friends, this little bit of honoring we're doing today is nothing compared to what these men and women really deserve. And their families. And all the people that have been affected. To die for someone else is an amazing human sacrifice. But there was one supreme sacrifice. Did you know that God is the greatest rescuer? I can't even begin to start to fathom that God, who created the heavens and earth, is the all-powerful author of everything, determined to rescue you and me by becoming one of us. Just the humiliation of becoming a man and yet being God. I can't even imagine what that was. But then to hang on that cross 2,000 years ago and hang there in my place and your place and go through the horrible suffering of a Roman crucifixion. But that was nothing compared to his holy, divine soul. He could have called 10,000 angels and the world would have been destroyed. In fact, in just one flick of his mind, the whole universe could have been destroyed. But he hung on that cross because the only way you and you and I can be delivered would be for our sins to be paid for. And if we pay for them, we've got eternal judgment to pay. But God, the eternal God, came being a real man, took our place officially, being God, could take all of our place. And my friends, he went to the danger. He went into the crisis. He went into greater suffering than anyone can ever imagine. And on that cross, every sin I've ever committed or will commit, and for all of us, he bore in him the judgment of God and went through that physical suffering. As you study the cross, it is an absolutely amazing thing. You talk about a rescue, that's the ultimate rescue. And the proof that he rescued was that he rose from the grave and he's seated today at the right hand of the Father. Friends, that's good news. That's a supreme sacrifice. Right after the verse that I read in Romans 5:7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me. I deserve eternal judgment, folks. All of us do. But he's the great rescuer. He went right to it and paid the price for our sins. You say, well, how can I be rescued? Well, all of you that are first responders, you know, people got to, they've got to let you rescue them. Sometimes you have to overcome them, but I mean, there has to be that desire. Well, in this case, there has to be the will to say, I can't rescue myself. Lord Jesus, rescue me. You've heard the term save. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, I want you to note this, thou shalt be saved, thou shalt be rescued. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. Cry out. Just like we've heard stories, people cried out, and guess what the noble men and women did? They rescued them. And Jesus has the perfect right to rescue you, but you can't think you can do it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2. It's based upon his finished work. And so, you know, you put all this together, it's really stirring to think of what happened. Frankly, it's stirring to think of what these first responders today go through. It's as noble as mankind can get, our military and their sacrifice. But far above all of that is what God did. Don't ever say no one loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the greatest thing about this day celebrating 9/11 would be for more people to be rescued by the great rescuer, the Lord Jesus. Let's bow for prayer.